Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Straight Up with Sturge, but filling in for Sturge and Will Pelagic, I'm Derek Fogle. Final hour of the show. If you have not chimed in, if you'd like to, feel free to do so. Text in 71307. Use the keyword, start your text with ESPN. You can tweet at me. At Fogle said what? F-O-G-E-L said what? Don't be afraid to tweet at Diesel. Don't be afraid to tweet at ESPN Upstate. Let us know what you're thinking. There's plenty of things to hit the fan. It's only Wednesday. It's hump day. As we get closer to the weekend, we'll start to learn a bit more about what's going to happen for this college football Saturday. Injuries-wise, betting lines. Diesel, I've been meaning to ask you, are you a betting guy? Do you like to put money down? Are you a daily fantasy? Are you a Bovada? Actually, I don't know if we're allowed to say this on the air, but I'm asking anyway. Are you one of those guys?
No, I don't have enough money to do that.
Okay, good. We're in the same boat. And also, I think it's really stupid to bet on college kids since I was a college athlete at one point, and I was a total idiot. So incredibly emotional, incredibly stupid, 19, 20 year olds, maybe don't bet on them, but still fun to watch. Still got the pride, still got the passion. Tradition never graduates. That's what I'm talking about. So let's go ahead and dive in first. We'll talk Clemson and UNC, but I think we all have pretty realistic expectations and predictions for that. What's more interesting is in Columbia, South Carolina and Kentucky. We know the Gamecocks are trying to shake off a bad stretch against the Wildcats. But my question here is actually, will the Gamecocks have a hostile home environment? Now, when I say hostile, you know, we'll tone it down a little bit. Are they going to be quick to boo, though? That's more what I'm interested in. Are the boo birds going to come out if they see something they don't like from a Will Muschamp-led team? That's going to be very telling. You know, I don't like booing the home team. I think it's bad, but I understand why fans do it. And you can have people say, they can go into the game and they'll say, oh, well, if everyone else booed, I wouldn't do it. But when there's some beverages flying around and you're around 50,000 of your closest friends, suddenly you might be a boo bird as well. I'm wondering what it takes for South Carolina to have their fans really, to have that fan base really start to turn. And it already has a little bit. We've established that. People are really tired of Will Muschamp and Ray Tanner. But this could be the whole revolt and riot. Diesel, you've probably got a better beat on this. Do you think South Carolina fans, what do you think would happen? Would it need to be like a two? Or is this a safe bet? If Kentucky takes a 3-possession lead over the Gamecocks and they go 3 and out, do you think they get booed at home?
Or do Absolutely. People
just, or do they just leave also?
They'll boo as they're leaving. Double down. They'll hit them with both, left and right.
Yeah. I feel like they're not far from that. And that's not a good feeling. You never really want to go to those games. But that Missouri game was super winnable. That was a very equally, the athletes there were balanced. I don't think that it leaned towards one side or the other. They're both middle of the road teams that are trying to make that next step. And the Tigers just showed up. The Gamecocks didn't. They had a couple tough things go their way. That Helinski batted down. Whatever. That is the worst luck I've ever seen. What a tough lesson to learn for an 18-year-old. That's not what I'm mad about. That you can't get upset about that. It's tough. But that was a very winnable game. Coming up against Kentucky, that's also very winnable. Look, they're 2-2. They have had a lot of talent in the last couple of years. We'll call them lukewarm. How about that? They're not hot. They're lukewarm because they had those good years in the past two, three seasons. They've graduated a lot of talent, a lot of NFL talent, right? Not that they've graduated guys that were just good quality players from them and they didn't find a place to play. No, this is NFL talent that Kentucky had. And they're rolling into town. And you've got a more than desperate Gamecock team because if you lose now, you're not going to have a chance to become bowl eligible. And that's the goal. We established it yesterday, Diesel, a sad goal, but get those six wins, get to a bowl, stay relevant. Don't make it harder on yourself to recruit. When you go into the abyss, that is the place of Tennessee, Arkansas. Well, Tennessee, not as much. Definitely Arkansas, where you're in that abyss that you're losing to San Jose State. That's a lot worse than losing to UNC in week one, okay? Mac Brown's return, that could have happened. And they were a little cavalier in how they tried to finish things off there. They could have, the Gamecocks could have put their foot down and they didn't, or at least put the game away, maybe not blow them out or anything. That's different than losing to San Jose State. You can't get to that point. When you get to that point, this is college football. You can't buy someone in free agency. You can't trade. You can't draft. You got to hope that your recruiting process is there. It is so hard to get that back when you lose bowl eligibility. Bowl eligibility in college is huge. I'm not sure. I mean, I think fans are aware of this. Tell me, Diesel, if you knew this, just to maybe give me a pulse. When teams make it to bowl games, they are given gifts, right? You're not allowed to pay athletes per the NCAA right now, but you can receive gifts from the bowl sponsors.
Sure.
You were aware of this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It's interesting the difference between what kind of gifts they're given at the smaller bowls versus the bigger bowls, the value of what they're able to accept. You know, I've seen video of teams, of players walking in and kind of putting their name down for all the things that they want, and then they get shipped to their house.
Yeah.
It's like you have $500 or you have $1,000 or whatever, you know, your allotment is, and you got to go add it up and say, I want this. I want this watch. I want this. They don't make them anymore, but MP3 player. I want this. I want that. I want this. I want that. And then it gets shipped to your house or your dorm room. Okay. How cool is that?
No, it's great. I'm glad that you know that just because like that's huge for recruiting. When you can, that's why like when Southern California USC, that USC, when they went on that bowl ban, that's really hard because players want to go so they can get those stupid gifts, even if it is an MP3 player or whatever it might be, or the Belk Bowl where they get to go, you know, they get big gift cards and they get a bunch to buy a bunch of clothes from Belk stores or whatever they sell. I don't even know what Belk sells.
What 19-year-old do you know that shops at Belk?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's, you know, it's something. It's a recruiting tactic, okay? You know what? One of the funniest things I learned was a gift from a bowl sponsor. I forget which it was. It was Arkansas back in like 2009. They were in pretty good bowls at the time, but they had just missed a BCS bowl maybe. They were given the option of getting a 42-inch TV or a scooter, a motorized scooter that you could sit on. And so many of the football players, especially the linemen, chose the scooters because for anyone that's been to Fayetteville, it is the hilliest campus you have ever seen. It is so hard to get around. I can't imagine if it snows or ices there in Northwest Arkansas. Good Lord. But you had these obviously very heavy people on these scooters and they just frankly couldn't make it up the hills. That is a real story. That comes from my sister who was on the swim team there at the time where they were getting the scooters as their gift. Couldn't really get around campus that well. And they thought that they were really cheating the system. Like, well, I don't have to walk to class anymore. I got my scooter. No, you can't make it up the hills, buddy. You're still having to walk and now you're pushing a scooter. But that was a bowl gift. Just so you know, she was also there for the, do you remember the Ryan Mallett story? The infamous Ryan Mallett story, and I'm not talking about his DUI that just happened. He was in class. He had to take a test. You always have to buy your books. I mean, your test books. Obviously, you have to buy your books. And your Scantrons. And athletes have to sit in the front row. That's pretty standard for a lot of schools. But he didn't buy a Scantron. And so he says, does anyone have a Scantron for Ryan Mallett? And I'm not sure if anyone brought him one. But then at that game that Saturday, the entire student section brought Scantrons and waved them around after every completed pass. Shout out to Ryan Mallett. Hope he's doing better. There's a nice collegiate story for you. Don't want to miss the Clemson-UNC preview here just for a second. Just because, look, the Tigers, if they don't win a game from here on out, it's by more than, 17 points, I would be surprised. You would like to think that a Mack Brown-led Tar Heels team that got off to the hot start, you'd like to think that they might be able to challenge Clemson, but I don't know, man. Let's just be real. I don't think that's... Is it a sneaky test for the Tigers just because they beat South Carolina? No. All right. No. The ACC, come on. Step up your game. And then they get to host Florida State. And then I think actually one of the better tests they'll have will be at Louisville. And that's about it. Everybody else should be beaten by at least three touchdowns. And we talked about this yesterday. Before these become blowouts and you start taking out starters and using 111 players, which we're going to discuss next segment, Diesel, before you start doing that, you got to make sure Trevor Lawrence gets his looks. Got to make sure he keeps progressing because, man, you have an easy schedule and then you're just going to dive right into real competition. A&M was a decent test. Syracuse, you left them in the game too long. Won't really have another decent test until maybe if, let's say, at the end of the season, South Carolina turns their season around and becomes competitive. That'd be cool because then it's a good, that's a great rivalry. So that'd be a good in-state, good test to end the season before conference championships. And we're talking college football playoff. Got to have that. But I don't really have much more for you there. Tigers and Tar Heels, that should be really lopsided. You know which way. Kentucky, South Carolina, got your season on the line. Probably this would be the final straw for Will Muschamp. And I know that Tanner, Athletic Director Ray Tanner, was just on the air saying, oh, well, we totally believe in him and his coordinators and his leadership. Yeah, okay. We'll see what happens here after Saturday. There's a lot to shake out here the rest of the season. Stay bowl eligible so your guys can get their fun gifts and they can get their scooters and Belk gift cards. I wonder what they get if they go to the Liberty Bowl. I really don't know. Whoever sponsors the Liberty Bowl. You need that, though, for recruiting. Sounds silly, but I know it to be true. Derek Fogle filling in straight up with Sturge. Coming up next, the current state of football scholarships. Diesel says they need less. I don't know. I think you could use more, actually. We'll discuss. ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Derek Fogle filling in. It is still straight up with Sturge, just not with Sturge or with Will. It's with me. Find me on Twitter at Fogle said what, F-O-G-E-L said what. You can, of course, tweet at ESPN Upstate if you want to get a hold of me there. Or text in 71307, keyword. Start that text with ESPN and we can talk. I'm for it. I love the conversation that radio creates. My father's on the air in Chicago. He does music. And then my grandfather, he was also, my dad's dad, that grandfather was also on the air. So it's a family business. I love the conversation that radio creates. Feel free to chime in. Love me or hate me, let me know. Really not opposed to hearing your opinion. That's what we're here for. So let's get to this. Diesel, you brought this up yesterday while we were talking. I think it might have came up a little bit on the air, but definitely between segments, how you have an issue with the fact that, or at least this is how the conversation stemmed, that Clemson used 111. Everybody on the sideline played against Charlotte in that blowout this past Saturday. And you had an issue with the scholarship situation as it stemmed from that conversation because people were playing that probably shouldn't be, or they were, you know, on scholarship. Do they really need 111 guys on the sideline? You know, so I'm interested in how you why is it that you want less scholarships?
Well, why is it that this level of football needs, in some cases, nearly double the athletes that most other levels of football needs? In high school football, most states don't have strict limits, but most high school teams have somewhere in the range of 55 to 75 guys on their roster. Pro football has 53 guys on their roster. FCS has 63 guys on their roster. Why does Power 5 or FBS football, why do they need 85 guys on scholarship? And why do they need another 20 guys plus somehow orbiting around in this state of limbo where they're close enough that they can actually play?
Yeah, I understand what you mean. It sounds silly from a competitive standpoint. I guess I just look at it from the more the people standpoint. So I talked about this, the scholarship situation and paying athletes, and I don't think you need to pay them, right? Like, how dumb would it be to give a six-figure salary to a 19, 20-year-old kid just because of where they are in the college football system? Like, that's a horrible idea, but you do need to be giving full rides to everybody. Like, in this people aspect, it came up because of Tim Tebow, right? His argument that you should be playing for pride. I'm good with all the scholarships. I actually would argue that all of them need scholarships, and it has nothing to do with competition. It's just the fact that the NCAA likes to pretend that, and the schools like to pretend that they can't afford to give everybody these scholarships. And they can, right? That's what a joke. You have billions of dollars. It doesn't cost you anything to make sure that even the cross-country runner has a full ride, because teams are largely handcuffed, right? I don't know how this works and they're handcuffed by NCAA rules. I don't know how it works for football, but for Division I baseball, here's how it is. You have 11.7 full ride scholarships. So think of it as you have 1,170% that you can disperse to 29 guys, and you can have 35 on the active roster. 29 guys between 1,170%. So no one's getting a full ride, but more importantly, you have to give a minimum of 25%. So you're really strained. Some coaches will say, okay, everybody gets divided equally. It's like 31% if you divide it equally. Some will have to, you know, use more to get an out-of-state guy. Others here, there, make sure they get academic money, make sure they get in-state tuition. I don't know what it is for football. I'm sure there's something somewhat similar, right? They're going to handcuff them somehow. But I'm good with it because when it comes to college athletes, there are a lot of guys that struggle. I had other teammates, and these are white baseball players, right? Like, everyone wants to just make this about like race or a certain athlete. No, it happens everywhere. And there was an Olympian at my school that couldn't afford to go home during breaks. She would stay and work out. I was a gym rat, so I would stay, but she couldn't afford to go home. I had teammates that were sleeping on my couch that couldn't afford to pay rent. Like, it's way too common in the college game that people are struggling so much that I'm good with more scholarships. And I know that's like, it's not the conversation you wanted to have, because when it comes to competition, you're probably right. That's not fair that the Power Five get to have more and that the FCS is dealing with less and they're, you know, treated as a completely different entity. I'm probably with you there if we got into that conversation. But the scholarships, like, you got to take care of these guys that, and their families even. You're putting a strain on their families for the debt that you're creating and going to college, that, you know, how many hours does mom and dad dedicate in the car, or how much extra jobs are they working to be able to afford working out at the indoor or getting this coaching? You know, when you put it that, and I'm sorry to make that like a people like sympathetic argument on you, but like, that's where my mind goes. And I know that's not what you're looking for. Because you're totally right. When if you want real level competition, yeah, you need to take away the 85 scholarships. I don't know what their situation is. I'm assuming that they're all full rides, or that they have to give full rides. No, that can't be possible. They have to be able to divide it up. But I'm okay with... The competition is what it is, right? You're going to have schools that are going to be able to pull more, whether it's the conference they're in or the donors they have. Like, what does South Carolina have in their football facilities, right? They have like a recording room. What's the better? A studio?
I should record your mixtape.
Yeah, so that way you can put your mixtape on MySpace. Like, those are the things that are going to end up bringing players in also. It sounds stupid, but facilities really, really matter. You know, if you're looking for the competition, I'm not sure. You know, and I'm sorry, Diesel, that's not where you thought this conversation was going to go, was it? It was probably the opposite.
No, yeah. from in my perspective of reducing scholarships from 85 to 75 is to generate more of a competitive balance,
yeah.
i.e., Alabama has 10 fewer scholarships, so they're quote-unquote worst 10 players shuffle down the line to an Ole Miss, and their worst 10 shuffle down the line to Louisiana Monroe. But those worst 10 are better, probably, or on par with the athletes those schools below them, next step down, are already getting. As far as percentages, I don't think that happens in football. I think they all get full rides. Now, I don't see a problem with dividing them up and keeping 85, but anybody that's on your roster at least has to be on a partial scholarship, not dissimilar from baseball. So at least they're getting a partial ride, even if they're a walk-on.
Yeah. Yeah, there is called guaranteed walk-on status. So you are on the team, and you are – like, those are the guys that – We see all the social media videos of, you know, oh, everybody's gathered around, and this guy, we're just going to say, oh, he is going to get arrested. Oh my God, it's a full ride. Yeah. Yeah. That is where that comes from. Here we go. Somebody tweets in, Robbie tweets in and says, Vogel said, what, you should look at the D2 level. Yeah. I started at the D2 level, and for baseball, it was, I think you have 9 total scholarships. You can divide it up. I think it's an unlimited amount of guys. You don't have the player limit. You don't have the 29 guys that can only have it. And I don't think there's a 25% limit either. And then look, if you want to go down to D3, even, that's only academic. It's all screwed up. It's all bad. But you know what? Diesel, I'll compromise with you here. Because I want the scholarships to get players taken care of. But what if we limited the active roster so that way 111 players can't play, right? We can still have 1 million guys on scholarship, but only what's a realistic number to suit up? I don't think you want to go below 60 because that's too close to the NFL. That's probably not fair. Maybe even 75, but... When you start reusing numbers, that's when it's bad.
When you get around 70, you're talking about dressing a 3 deep at every position, which is a lot.
Is that, though, for the college game? Is that
3
too much?
Deep at every position? That's a lot.
It is, but like, we can't hold them to an NFL standard, right? This is college football. These
why
are
not?
18, 19-year-old. They're 19. That's why. But I get it. It would create more competition, no doubt. But would that make the college game suffer because you have to leave guys in? Like, let's just say they do put it at 65. We create a limit there. And then you're just 2, maybe 2.5 deep, like you're saying, rather than 3. is that bad then that you're having to keep better players in against a team like Charlotte? And maybe you put up triple digits on them and then you have to throw up your hands and say like, well, look, sorry, I know we didn't mean to run up to the score, but we did. Do you think that that would be a problem because of a roster limit like that?
No, because the playbook can get as vanilla as they want it to. If a coach really has a problem running up a score, then run it up the gut over and over and over again. If they can't stop you, they can't stop you. I mean, what are you trying to do here? Are you trying to protect the Charlotte players' feelings, or are you trying to protect the Clemson players from getting hurt deep into a game they shouldn't still be in?
Right, but what happens when your athletes are just that much better? So you're running it up the gut, and you're getting 10, 15 yards of carry, and the safeties are having to dive at ankles.
I know that Dabo took a lot of heat about continuing to score touchdowns in the second half of that game. But isn't it more disrespectful to say, hey, Charlotte, look, I know you guys aren't any good, so we're just going to take a knee and pick up a negative 10 yards every drive and three and out every time? That's disrespectful to their players.
Yeah.
To say, we think you're so bad that we're just going to take a knee. What do you want? Do you want a run rule in college football? Once you get up 45 points, we call the game.
Yeah, that's why.
That's stupid. You can't have that either.
I would be in favor of a running clock. I think running clock. They do that in high school.
But these are big boys. They're college athletes.
Yeah. You know? But see, there's run rule in college baseball. 10 after 7. I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed to it. It has to go hand in hand with if you're limiting roster numbers, right? You will run up the score on accident. It'll just happen. The athletes are better. But it's a good conversation, Diesel. I'm glad you brought it up because it would definitely make for, you would have to get a more level playing field that way. It would be the result. It would have to. With all the athletes, like you mentioned, how Alabama and Ole Miss, 10 less. That would have to change something if you can't suit up everybody and their mother. 111 players played for Clemson this past weekend. We'll see how many play against UNC. I don't know. Mac Brown, let's see what he puts together. I'm a fan. I know he's gotten old. God, he's gotten old. Why do we do that? Why do we get old? Let's not do that. Let's not talk about it. Coming up next, Derek Fogle filling in straight up with Sturge. Coming up next, I have a question about job hunting, but also as it relates to college football coaches. We'll discuss next. ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Filling in straight up with Sturge, I'm Derek Fogle. It's been a fun couple of days and even weeks that I've got to fill in here on Offsides and Straight Up with Sturge. Thanks for having me, South Carolina. If you want to stick with me, you can find me on Twitter. That's what I'm best at. I know Diesel tried to get at me on Facebook. I do not use Facebook. I use that for social media scheduling, for the station pages. If you're looking for me on Twitter, @FogelSaidWhat, F-O-G-E-L said what. We'll have the back and forth. I'm good with that. Had a nice one earlier with somebody talking about the one of the segments we had yesterday about how I didn't love South Carolina's response to the inappropriate headline. Not the best response. Good back and forth. The only problem with Twitter, as I'm sure everybody's imagined, or just text in general, is there's no tone. So you don't know how someone's saying it. I saw a tweet that it was just about a professional baseball game. I forget who it was. They had homered like 5-6 times in the game. And someone tweets, "All we hit are home runs," with an exclamation point. And I read it as a complaint, which, like, God, all we hit are home runs. How frustrating. Which it clearly was not that way, but that's how I read it because there's no tone. And I thought it was funnier that way if you read that as a complaint. But, you know, that's what Twitter's for. We miss the tone, but you can find me there anyway if you'd like to chime in on the show at ESPN Upstate. And then also, don't forget, you can text in. Use the keyword ESPN. Start your text with ESPN at 71307. So let's get into this. I have a lot of questions about job hunting when it comes to real jobs. This is a different conversation, which I will get to job hunting as it relates to college football and Will Muschamp, I think. But first, Diesel, do you have a LinkedIn? Do you use that social media?
I have one, but I don't know the password.
That is excellent. I also have one, and I also forgot my password, but I get emails daily like, "Hey, do you know so-and-so? They have a million connections and are CEO of this company." No LinkedIn. I do not know them. Okay. Well, I was hoping, actually, I'm glad that we relate that way, I think LinkedIn is the most useless social media there is, but people swear by it for some reason. I was actually hoping you had used it so you could at least clarify something for me. I was wondering, and maybe you've heard, has anyone ever gotten a job from LinkedIn?
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, "Yeah, I got this job on LinkedIn," except the paid actors in the LinkedIn commercial.
I guarantee
didn't get their job through LinkedIn.
How do you think they got that job to be the LinkedIn spokesperson, or just the fake actor, the fake job hunter on the LinkedIn commercial, through an advertising campaign? And then they got that because they're an actor, and they got that through their agent. So nothing even to get to the LinkedIn advertisement probably came from LinkedIn. I'm with you there. I think LinkedIn is so stupid, but I made one because I need work. And I don't know. I've never heard of anyone getting a job from it. And I actually go to like these networking events, and it's so cheesy. I think people, there's a weird addiction nowadays to like business and networking. I don't know if you've ever noticed that and you've gone to one of these events. Go to a networking event. It's actually a really great thing. It's really easy. It's a fun way to meet people. Bring plenty of business cards. You can meet some really cool people. I have. I met the guy that at 19 years old, he was hired to be the executive producer of Behind the Music on VH1. Do you remember those?
Love those.
Yeah, they were incredible. I met the guy that made those just by going to a networking event. So you can meet really cool people.
Imagine being so rich and so good at your job that you've quit, and now all you do is get paid to go to networking events.
Yeah.
No, America, what an amazing country.
No, he wasn't even getting paid. He started his own business that he just wanted to do for fun. He moved out of L.A. and came out to, you know, get out of L.A. I'll just put it that way. He just wanted to be out of it, that business. It was stressful for him, and instead created his own business, which I guess is less stressful. I don't follow, but you get the point. And I don't know. I don't think anything ever comes of LinkedIn or necessarily these networking events. I swear people just want to say, like, "I know a guy," and nothing actually happens from that. They don't actually do something for you, but you know a guy. But it's cool to meet people that way. It's way better than LinkedIn. I don't think I'll ever get a job from LinkedIn. But
saying "I know a guy" really means I met him once. We exchanged business cards.
Exactly.
And every time I talk to him, I have to remind him, "Hey, I'm that guy you met at the thing and we did shots together.
Yeah, exactly. Although I've been to a few of these networking events, never done shots, got plenty of business cards, got zero jobs. But it's fun to meet people, okay? And you can say you know a guy, which.
But it's the promise that you'll get a job off of it. That's why you keep going back.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to keep going back. It's happy hours. You at least, everyone's nice because everyone wants to meet people. But there's also, like I said, there's like a weird addiction to it now. Like people think that it'll really help them somehow, and it doesn't. And I don't know. For some reason, that came up in my mind when I wanted to talk about Will Muschamp and how somebody like him, who he had one good season at Florida, I would argue, right? 10-2, lose in the Sugar Bowl. Think so. You get it. That was the good season. How does he probably keep getting opportunities? Because even though he's not having success in the SEC other than one lightning in a bottle dream season, I would say he's probably going to get an opportunity somewhere.
He's a great interviewer.
That's the thing. So where do you learn to be a great interviewer? I say it's not from these networking events. I don't think it's from LinkedIn, obviously. But here's the other thing. I don't know that it's necessarily he's a great interviewer, Diesel. I think here's a weird kind of cynical theory. But do you think people give glistening reviews about someone that they don't necessarily like just because in theory they want them out of where they're currently employed, right? Like they're using that reference of where they're currently employed as a springboard, but the people are just saying, yeah, you want him just so they leave. Is that cynical to think that people would do that?
It is, but I think the real issue is that a lot of athletic directors are captive of the moment. Or they're captive of the hot name at the time. I mean, how did a guy like Willie Taggart, who doesn't even have a career winning record, get the head coaching job at Florida State? Like, this guy stinks as a coach. He stinks. But all of a sudden, there was this national narrative when you can take, where was he, Western Kentucky, then Oregon, and he saw marked improvement in his first year at a new program, and then all of a sudden, the pundits start talking about it, and then there's some FOMO. There's fear of missing out. Florida State was afraid they wouldn't be able to do better than Willie Taggart, so they had to rush out and get Willie Taggart real quick. And they didn't go after a guy that's a proven commodity.
You know, this makes me think of Lane Kiffin, and here's why.
Yes. I cannot believe that Lane Kiffin did not parlay his one great season at FAU into a Power 5 job. And it's only because he's burned him so many times before, everybody's terrified of Lane Kiffin. But had he had one more good season, you know that he'd be the head coach at a big-time school right now.
He is the Benjamin Button of college football coaches. Think about his career. It went in reverse, or at least if you play it in reverse, that's what it should have been going forward, because his career went head coach of the Raiders, head coach at Tennessee, offensive coordinator at Alabama, head coach at FAU. If you go backwards, if you say FAU to OC at Alabama to Tennessee to Raiders, that would make a lot more sense, right? And he's a, like, talk about somebody that interviews well, or see, he supports my theory that people would say, oh, yeah, he'll be a great hire. You want him. He's either a great interviewer or that happens because people want him out of where he's currently at. That is my one supporting argument for that. But the other thing, you know, you're saying for Willie Taggart, like, how did he get there? And for a lot of guys, I have the same questions, but it brings me back to, you know, when I was talking about Bill O'Brien and Jeff Fisher and Marv Lewis, these guys that have very mediocre coaching records and they hang on. And I swear it's because they're like your go-to guy to grab a beer with. I'll always reference this. When I watch the Hard Knocks of the Rams, when Jeff Fisher goes in and tells his assistants in his coaching meeting that he's been let go, like, they are stunned. After he walks out of the room, one of the assistant coaches stands up and says, like, we let him down. We need to step up. Like, it was an incredible behind the scenes moment, but it also just shed some light, because what's the national conversation about Jeff Fisher? Like, what a dunce. right? He's just the butt of every joke that's 7-9, 9-7, 8-8, whatever. He's the butt of every joke when it comes to that. But clearly he has the charisma and people love him. So somebody like Will Muschamp, maybe he has that. Because he's got a nice deal. He's got a really nice deal. When does it come up? In like 2 years? Or is it three? Doesn't matter. You get what I'm saying. He's just one of those guys that he has that I want to grab a beer with you factor. The grab a beer factor. We're going to make that a thing. I'm going to make that trend on Twitter somehow. Probably not. Thanks to Coach Frank on Twitter for the follow. At Fogel said what? F-O-G-E-L said what? We'll keep up. We can talk this Saturday. It's going to be a good one. Kentucky and South Carolina. That one's going to be... Talk about your season hanging in the balance. You got to stay bowl eligible for those recruits. I'm telling you. Coming up next, Derek Fogel filling in straight up with Sturge. We'll wrap it up. Been a fun couple days. And I just have one final question for you. We got sort of an either or on appetizers here. Going to need your opinion too, Diesel. That's next. Derek Fogel, ESPN Upstate. Filling in for Sturge and Will Pelagic. Yes. Got the name right again. Let's go. I'm Derek Fogel. You can find me on Twitter at Fogel Said What. You can get at me on the text line 71307. Start that text with ESPN. The texter says we were talking about the 111 players against Charlotte playing for the Tigers and says who is stupid enough to complain about Dabo scoring two touchdowns in the second half of the game when there are teams out there scoring three. and it keeps going. But yeah, that's something to complain about. Everyone wants to complain, but everybody's going to run up the score on accident, or be that as it may. Maybe they want to. Maybe they're trying to prove a point. Let's get to this to wrap up the show, Diesel. Really simple, okay? And this actually came from Taryn Hilo on Twitter, if you're familiar with her. She's not ugly. One or the other for the rest of your life. Red Lobster, their biscuits, or Olive Garden breadsticks. That's not easy. I'm going to put you on the spot first, Diesel.
What do I want to eat for the rest of my life?
For the rest of your life, you can only have one. No, not like that's
cheddar,
the only
cheddar
thing
bay,
eat.
Cheddar Bay biscuits, not even a question. Get out of here with those breadsticks. No. Yeah,
Red Lobster cheddar biscuits or Olive Garden breadsticks.
Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the cheddar biscuits too. But you know what? I say that, and I actually had a very unhealthy amount of Olive Garden breadsticks the other day. I don't know why. I don't do that with the biscuits, but I do that with the breadsticks. Like, if there's one thing I overeat when it comes to, I don't know, you could say fast food or just casual dining, whatever, it is breadsticks. It is, like, if I have an open bag of something, you know, like, is it going to be finished? I can do a pizza. That's not what I'm saying. But, like, okay, I stopped by Little Caesars the other day. You know the crazy bread they make? Finished it. Gone. I have no self-control. For Miles Garrett, when he was talking to ESPN Body Issue and he had his little interview, for him, it's Cinnabons. He can have three, or he stops himself at two. He would have three or four or five or something. Do you have something like that? Like, are cheddar biscuits from Red Lobster going to be something you're never going to stop eating? Like, that if they just kept bringing them, you'd make yourself sick?
Yeah, and similarly, at any Mexican restaurant, the chips and salsa, I can't stop.
Dude, like,
I can't make myself stop.
All I hear is my mom or dad saying,
don't ruin your dinner.
Yeah, you're going to ruin your dinner. And that totally happens, except here was the thing. So I said how I went to Olive Garden and I went overboard on the breadsticks. I did, in fact, wait until the salad showed up, and then I had three then, and then my meal came, and I'm not going to not leave all that sauce at the bowl. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to not scoop all of it up with a breadstick. So then I had a few more then, and then the bartender, I was sitting at the bar at Olive Garden. Yeah, there's some judgment to be passed there. I totally understand. They gave me four more to take on the road. And I'll tell you what, those reheat really well. Okay, you can definitely, and I've made the cheddar biscuits. You can buy a box and make them at home. Highly recommend. Thanks for having me, Diesel. Thanks for having me, South Carolina. It's been fun. Hopefully I'll be back with you again at Fogel Said What on Twitter, F-O-G-E-L Said What. ESPN Out of State.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.